Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Joe, and I don't know where this redemption arc leads, but we were talking about on the call today, and yesterday, I should say, about why we love redemption stories in America. And I do think, you know, as Baker Mayfield's going to be the opposition this week, we love Baker getting humbled in a sense, right? He got humbled when he went to Carolina and he flamed out with the Cleveland Browns.
We almost like, not we, but I'm saying America felt like was rooting against him because he got so many commercials so quick, so early on. It was like, no, we are not. Remember, he had more commercials than Mahomes and Brady and all these guys. He had been in the league for 5 seconds.
Yeah, he was the progressive guy. He had more commercials than Win Sammy. He did at one point. No. It was him living in the Cleveland Browns stadium. Remember those ads?
And they were funny, but like I think a lot of people thought he was given too much too soon.
We thought it was another Johnny Manziel. I think that's what we thought. Like Baker,
he was just so much better in the NFL than Johnny.
No. I understand that. But early on in his Browns
attitude,
okay. He had all the commercials. Yeah. It's like, okay. Yeah. There's a video of him getting like running away from the cops, Joe. Like, there was a notion about Baker being like, this guy's a knucklehead and he doesn't get it. And he's talking smack and he's planting flags. He's doing the dances. People don't like that. And then he got humbled. And then we're all like, eh, see, this is what we were expecting. And then, you know, he's out of sight, out of mind. And then he revitalized his career. Going to, you know, who was it? The Rams taking over there for a little bit, winning a game on short notice on Thursday Night Football.
I still can't believe he did that.
It was insane. Well, I can because he's going up against the Raiders. It's a different conversation. And it was Josh McDaniels. So just don't. I'm going to go to a dark place here.
I didn't mean to do that.
Don't do this to me. I don't want to go there.
That throw, I'll never forget that throw. I mean, if he doesn't make that throw, he might not be in the league.
I remember Baldy was in studio at the old building the day after, and I was like distraught for that whole pregame show. I just couldn't gather my thoughts. I still can't right now, but that's what we love in America, the redemption story. And maybe we'll see that again. You know, we saw it with Sam Darnold last year. Maybe we'll see that with Mac Jones if he truly does go on a little bit of a run here with the Niners. I don't know where it'll go, where it leads, but let's just ride that hot hand. Where are Niner fans at riding with Mac Jones and kind of being the feel-good story this year? I think him and Daniel Jones right now are the two best stories in the NFL. I mean, how could you not be rooting for this?
I think Daniel Jones is probably the best story in the NFL at the quarterback position in terms of redemption, but Mac Jones ain't far behind him. I think a lot of people are taking victory laps on their initial opinions of Mac Jones, whether it be coming out in the draft, which they should, right? Coming out in the draft, or the whole Shanahan and Mac would have made sweet love. Not that he was necessarily, you know, the lock pick or whatever, but just that they would be good together. Like, they are good together. It's humming. I think one thing that's pretty evident to me, the passing game, because of the offensive line being what it is right now, you got to get rid of the ball quickly.
Right.
And the thing I just didn't know that Mac could do, because I knew Brock has done it before in the past, and I think Mac's doing it better than Brock right now, getting rid of the ball quickly and identifying where the pressures are coming from and not running into sacks.
Mm.
Obviously, this offensive line stinks in terms of pass protection, and you can give me all the PFF grades you want, but I'm just not buying it. But I'll give Mac this. Like, he has evaded the big mistakes over and over and over again. He's kept them on schedule a lot right now. And because you don't have a running game, you know, if he's taking a sack here and there, think of how more difficult the passing game would be right now. And it just feels like the passing game's kind of humming right now.
That was the big knock against Mac leading into this season when we talked about talked to all those people, whether it was Jermaine Wiggins that covered him in Boston, whether it was Rick Ballew who covered him over in Jacksonville for their flagship station, whether it was all these people that we had on in week two when we thought Brock was going to be out for a little bit. You know, they all said, yes, the mistakes. He just makes boneheaded mistakes. This is, listen, this is from September 11th, a month ago. Rick Ballew, who covers the Jags for their flagship station, I know they're loving life this morning. So what he had to say about Mac Jones's mistakes.
His mistakes are plentiful. You know, let's be honest about that. He's very inconsistent, doesn't take care of the ball. He's got accuracy issues. But there are times he'll surprise you. You know, he can throw the ball. He can make a play. It's just not consistent. And, you know, he really got an opportunity here a year ago. He played basically the second half of the season when Trevor Lawrence went down. You look at his numbers, they're okay percentage-wise. But here's a way that I would define Mac Jones. He may be the best passer in the world if it's 3rd and 11 and he throws the football 4 yards.
And that is, again, been like the polar opposite of the Mac Jones we have seen. And I think that has a lot to do with coaching. That has a lot to do with him getting reps with some of these guys in the preseason and not getting thrust in there, you know, halfway through the season and getting yanked and pulled and in and out and just being a part of a dumpster fire organization with the Jags were last year. You can just see already after that win last night how much more polished and cleaned up they look with Liam Cohen as their head coach as opposed to Doug Peterson in company. So it matters. And I will agree with you on this, Joe. The fact that they can't run the ball right now, there is a conversation of whether or not Brock Purdy can succeed without a running game at this as a just a pure pocket passer going forward. I don't think that's a hot take.
So say that again so that I can comprehend this fully.
I don't believe. Let me take a step back. I want to be careful here.
Okay, yeah.
I want to be careful.
What are you careful of? What are you afraid of?
I'm the Twitter fingers and everyone going down my road and the damn mosquitoes.
I just think everyone's way like oversensitive on everything. We're all overthinking this. I want the team to win. Right now, Mac's on a heater. I'm rolling with Mac. When he has a dud or the team loses, all right, I'm going right back to Purdy.
I have question marks about whether or not Brock Purdy can succeed if you take away the running game and he has to be a pure passer going forward.
I
have question marks
he's only, okay, wait.
His only success, his legitimate success, has been tied to an individual named Christian McCaffrey in the running game. That's a big component. Now, you know, the Greg Cosells of the world will tell me, hey, you take away the running game from any quarterback, they're going to struggle.
Sure.
Yeah, but I don't think they're going to struggle the way that I've seen Brock Purdy struggle. And I think a lot of those other quarterbacks might have better arm talent to overcome that. Has Mac Jones had a good running attack the last three games that he started?
I mean, no.
Has he been able to overcome that with his arm?
Yeah, the team has overcome it. Yeah, absolutely.
I think there is a question there in regards to if this is a pass-first offense going forward, which of those quarterbacks is more accustomed to do that? And
to Tampa Bay this weekend.
Yeah.
All right. And Purdy goes, I'm healthy, and you can't run the ball at all. You get another, you know, 22 carries for 55 yards for CMC. You go right back to Purdy?
Well, I think you have to if he's healthy. Yes. Because he's earned the right to lose the job from, you know, being a starter. And I don't think he's going to lose the job within this season. I don't think outside of him, like, having a season-ending injury, which I don't want to happen, I don't think he loses the job to Mac Jones this year. Let me be very clear. But I have question marks about his ability to overcome the lack of a running game from within the pocket. Is that fair?
Yeah. I just, you know, I think you're talking about style of play, and I think this is actually an interesting comp. We look at Draymond Green today, and it's like, oh, Hall of Famer, day one, amazing.
Oh, that wasn't the case, yeah.
David Lee was one of the best Warriors we had in like a decade.
He was an all-star.
He was the first all-star in 2 decades for the Warriors. He hurt himself at the end of a year with Mark Jackson, and Draymond got to kind of fill in down the stretch. And Draymond was solid off the bench, but no one knew what he would be because he was such a tweener. And at the time, tweeners were kind of like a no-go in the NBA, especially at the power forward position. Mm. And at the beginning of the following year, Steve Kerr's first year, David Lee had like a hamstring injury or whatever it was, and they ended up going with Draymond Green. They couldn't go back. Now, that's it. That's an extreme example, right? And in basketball, you can sub guys in and out or whatever, but they ended up basically just going with Draymond Green, and they've never looked back, right? And they've never looked back. Their style of play during the Curry era has been defined also by the way Draymond plays, is it not?
Yeah.
David Lee, though a good player and probably could adjust, I don't think Curry would have evolved the same way had he played alongside of him. Would you agree with that?
Fair enough. So stylistically, how Curry's
David
been
able liked to have
yeah.
the ball in his hands.
Yeah, he was more
and he was a good
dominant.
Player. He could pass and do a lot, yeah. but Draymond's so much different, and the flow of their offense is so much different.
And the IQ and all of it. Yeah,
I think where you're going is a similar kind of style of play conversation regarding Mack and Purdy. Purdy wants that play action, deep shots down the field, get outside by around the sides of the tackles
but
to
the
be
defense,
able to change platforms.
Defense ain't biting. They ain't biting on those play actions. Yep.
Right now, they are not a run first team. Right now, they're a short-controlled passing game team.
They're trying to be a run-first team, and it fails, and they have to become a passing team within each every game.
I mean, and this is why...
40 pass attempts almost every game, Joe. Well,
like we were talking about yesterday, this is why I would double down and go try to get my... I know we want a defensive lineman. I want a defensive lineman. I want a pass rusher. But I also want Alvin Kamara, because I want someone else in that short-controlled passing game area who can run the ball a little, catch passes out of the backfield, and be a red zone threat on those motions and things like that. I think they really missed that with no Debo.
We're going to have Baldy here in about 20 minutes, Baldy's breakdowns. We had emergency Baldy on Friday, because usually and always he's on Tuesdays at 7:30 at this time. But we had him last week because of Thursday Night Football, and this is what he had to say in regards to Brock Purdy, Mac Jones conversation.
Brock's the starter, but, I mean, does anybody have a better backup quarterback in this league than what Mac Jones is doing? I mean, he's won two out of the three games. He's won at the very end. That performance yesterday might have been the best of his entire career. And so he'll be in a free agent carousel next year, whatever. But, I mean, if I was the 49ers, I'd just lock him up right now. Like, he can start. He can win games. He can win division games, overtime games. Like, that performance yesterday, there might be a quarterback controversy as good as he was.
That was Baldy on Friday. He's had a couple days to digest, watch all the film, break it all down. He's going to be joining us in 20 minutes, 7:30, courtesy of River Islands. And then after Baldy, we got Bonte Hill in studio from 8 to 10. Mac Jones' season is upon us. And there is an aspect of Mac Jones' game that we are underrating. And we're going to get into it on the other side because it's important. And a lot of quarterbacks, even star quarterbacks, lack what Mac Jones has. We'll get into it on the other side. Spadoni, Chasky. It's all brought to you by Moderna.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. PNC's apply. In-app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. year, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
I don't think I'm
there's
there
really
yet.
Not a lot of great analogies to like point to, but like similar to like Buddy Hield. When Buddy Hield's on fire, you just kind of ride Buddy Hield out. Right? Like, all right, and then once he misses a couple, all right, let's sub him out. You get a pitcher out there, like Chris Weston had a no-hitter one time, right? Chris Heston had a no-hitter one time. You ride that out. I know that Chris Heston isn't the long-term ace of the San Francisco Giants.
No.
And again, these aren't perfect analogies, but it's just, I think in sports, sometimes we way overthink things, all right? And no one is saying that Mac's the guy no matter what, and I'm ditching the contract, and I'm taking a dump on Purdy. And guys, I'm just saying, I'm riding the hot hand for the time being. And let's just see where it goes. And while Purdy's hurt, which is pretty obvious,
Brock Purdy,
you know, like, who knows what ends up happening with the toe? I hope it heals over time. Maybe it stays injured. Maybe he goes back out there and re-injures it again, and this all becomes a moot point. I don't know. I don't want that to happen. I love watching Purdy play. And also, what if Mac gets hurt? Because if Mac is the knee is that bad,
Adrian Martinez,
and he can't even finish the game on Sunday, well, then that all becomes a moot point. So I don't want to give these like declaratives and, you know, long term. It's just, guys, I'm riding the hot hand until I'm not, and that's it.
888-957-9570 is the number to get involved. Are you riding the hot hand with I almost said with Brock Purdy, but with Mac Jones over Brock? And what does Mac do, Joe, that Brock can't? Well, I'm not going to say Brock can't do this because he has been a proven leader, but there is something about the swag in how players, his own teammates, gravitate towards him.
No, I think it's, on the field, there's something.
It's undeniable.
Well, like, are you talking about skill set wise?
Well, first, I want to get, before I get to the skill set wise, I'm just going to go with what his teammates love about him and how they speak about him. This is what Christian McCaffrey had to say after that Thursday Night Football win. They love Mac Jones. Let me just tell you this first and foremost, Niner fans. That locker room has rallied behind that quarterback.
Man, I don't have enough good things to say about Mac. You know, he's an absolute warrior. He's a leader. He's somebody that we all can get behind for sure. And, you know, I think it's a testament to him and his attitude and the way he plays football. It's a testament to Brock and the way that he's been helping him and getting him ready to go. Testament to the coaches. And going back to the injury thing, you know, when you have guys go down, it's not one guy that has to step up. It's a whole team and a whole unit that has to step up. So that was a fun one to be a part of.
You know, I want to make it clear. Like, when you hear Christian say all that, I don't think, for some reason, fans do this. Well, that means he doesn't love Brock that way. No. They could love both guys.
I'm sure we have a soundbite of Christian waxing poetically about Brock multiple times.
No, I know we do. But I just think that we do this thing like, well, if he compliments you, that means he's dissing him.
Right.
No, they're independent. And in fact, I have enough bandwidth in my life to be able to love multiple teammates simultaneously for different reasons. So, yeah, I'm not surprised that the team loves Mac. I think they love both guys. I think I really genuinely think they truly love both guys. And I think both guys bring kind of some different stuff to the table. I think that when you look at Brock, I don't know what he's like in the locker room, but he's very serious.
Yeah.
And you want that maturity and that seriousness.
It's fun on the field, though, when he plays. We have some, like, gifs of him, like, slide in, doing, like, finger pointing and stuff. Yeah.
But he's a very laser-focused individual.
Yes.
And I think a lot of the elite competitors have that kind of crazy focus level. Mac does have some goofiness that you just don't see outwardly expressed by Brock.
He definitely does. I mean, we have the laugh of him just, you know.
I think he's a goofball.
No, he is. I mean, the guy's
wearing, say that in an endearing way.
You see the suits he's wearing? How could you not laugh at it? Like, sorry. Like, it's ridiculous that he wears a Two-Face Harvey Dent black and red suit. But it works. He's not an aw shucks guy like Brock Purdy is. He's not. He's definitely got some more red ass in him. He's definitely more, I'm going to get in your face. I'm going to talk smack.
Yeah.
I'm going to do my little shoulder rub right there. I'm going to do my little whatever this thing's called that I'm doing on air right now on the YouTube chat. He's going to do that, smile at you, talk some smack. And you know what? I love that. And that's okay that he's different from Brock. There's different ways to lead. That's a lot more like what Tom Brady would do, by the way. Like, we act like Tom Brady was the Patriot way. You guys remember how Tom Brady would play on the field? How much smack talk he would do?
Oh, he
getting
was
in the face in the Super Bowl with the Honey Badger.
He was insane.
And the Honey Badger tried to say Tom Brady said a bad word. And then, like, oh, by the way, you guys are all mic'd up, Honey Badger, and you were wrong. Remember that? Remember that in the Super Bowl once upon a time? Like, so there's this notion that you have to be this, like, oh, shucks guy. No, 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 you don't. You could talk some smack. It's okay. Well,
there's a variety of ways to lead. You know, not everyone, you know, Steph Curry leads in a very unique way.
Yes.
He's not a, like, let me scream and yell at the guys and the troops. Draymond Green, complete opposite.
Oh, but Steph will shimmy on you. Oh, he'll show about the best of them.
Now, on the field, there is a lot of differences, actually, between the two players. I think they both have a really good quick release. I think they both identify pre-snap certain matchups that they want to go to. In terms of physical traits, obviously, Mac's just taller. So with that, I think that he does have a slight advantage at times in the pocket when there's a quick rush. He's able to get it. Both guys get balls batted down at the line, though.
Yes.
And I think that that's more a byproduct of the Shanahan system as a whole, because the majority of passes, if you're not going to get to the quarterback quickly and if it's a three-step drop, these D linemen are so sophisticated now, they jump up in the air. So I don't think it cares if you're 6'8". Or 5'9", you're going to get balls batted down because these linemen are humongous and they jump the routes. But Mac does one thing that Purdy can't do, and Purdy does a few things that Mac can't do. The one thing that Mac does really well, the deep curls and the deep comebacks beyond the numbers on the far side of the field, he's ripped a couple beautiful balls in that direction. I've seen both guys hit the back shoulder throw. I've seen both guys hit the deep ball. I think Brock throws a better over-the-top deep ball. Just over the top, like I call it the cherry pop, the lollipop throw. Brock's is a little better, even though I think Mac's arm strength is better. I think Mac throws a better seam ball thus far. And he's been really accurate on the underneath stuff. He's been really accurate. I think they're both equally accurate. But where Brock just is like thoroughly excels is the broken play outside the box, spinning out of control, pointing, hitting a guy in stride and letting him go upfield. I mean, he's a monster on those plays. He's unbelievable on
those. What Trevor Lawrence did last night, you know, stumbling and bumbling and falling, like, I could see Brock Purdy doing that and getting up and running for a touchdown. I don't know if Mac Jones is getting up from that and scrambling for a touchdown. Like, that type of a play. Like, when everything is, there's chaos everywhere. Yeah. Let me put my head down. I'm going to be decisive. All right, I'm going to run for it. Or I can scramble with my feet and throw.
The other thing he does really well is when the guy comes collapsing in on him, Russell used to do this, the little flip over the top, kind of like almost a baseball flip to second base to shortstop. He's really creative with getting rid of the ball before the defender comes in. And like, whereas Mac has to give you that traditional, you know, throw, he doesn't have kind of the freelance throws that you see Purdy do. So I think both guys have strengths and weaknesses. And I think the play style has been a little different under Mac, and I don't think that's a bad or a great thing. I think it's just it is what it is.
Whoa.
I think Shanahan adjusting to each guy is the part that's really blown me away.
I don't think we've talked enough about Kyle Shanahan and the coaching job he's been able to do. This was a guy that everyone was blaming, wanted to get out of here a couple weeks ago. Even when they were winning, it was all the injuries mounting up, and there was frustration, and it was like, wow, is this season already over? Yeah, we're 2-0, we're 3-0, but like, we have all these injuries. Like, what kind of version of this team are we going to be come December? I know you were very cautious. Like, you were cautiously optimistic, and they're like, yeah, this is fun, but like, yeah, is a glass slipper going to break here? I mean, you can only have so many injuries,
right?
Which is understandable. And you know what? The glass slipper might break this week with Mac Jones. He might look horrible.
Did you see the video that was caught by the Rams sideline reporter?
No. What?
So there was a video of Jed York, Al Guido, and I don't know who the other guy is in the suit. So I apologize because I literally don't know who
it
was.
Is that SoFi Stadium?
Yes. After the game was over, Jed and Al Guido and the whole crew were like running onto the field and like high-fiving and hugging Shanahan and the players and like, It felt so old school. I mean, it felt like something out of the 80s,
right?
Where like clearly that game meant so much to so many. They were riding so high after that win, and I think it really like embodied how the fan base has felt, which is like, damn, that's one of the best wins in such a long time. Obviously, it's not a playoff game.
No.
Obviously, it's not for the division, so I'm not trying to like jump it over some of the other wins. It's just, what a feel-good win.
We know nothing about the NFL, by the way. We like to think we know, but we really don't. I mean, who through 5 weeks would have the Indianapolis Colts as the first seed in the AFC. Like, oh, the Bills are right there. That makes sense, right? Oh, the Bills, okay. Then you got teams like, you know, the Jacksonville Jaguars, who have like one playoff moment in the last decade, feels like, outside of the Blake Bortles run.
I'm happy for them. I'm like legitimately rooting for the Jags.
One? The Jags, okay.
And also Danny Dimes in Indianapolis. Like, I think they could win a playoff game, which is crazy.
Right now, if the season ended, was it seven teams, correct? Because they have the extra wild card. The New England Patriots with Drake May and Mike Vrabel, who we all left for dead after 1 week when the Raiders beat them.
Not me.
Not you. You always
beat me. Drake May, my fantasy quarterback in a 16-man league.
They're 3-2. They're right there, right? A Kansas City Chiefs, who everyone's throwing dirt. Oh, they're done. They're cooked. They lost yesterday. They're 2-3. Let's relax here. It's still the Kansas City Chiefs. I still fear that defense. Are they as good as they once were? Maybe not. But you're telling me they could sneak into the playoffs? Do you want to play that team? If you're in the AFC, do you want to play the Kansas City Chiefs if they make the playoffs?
No.
If you're the Indianapolis Colts, they play the Colts in the first round, who are you taking?
Yeah, I'm probably taking the Chiefs.
There you go.
But I like Indianapolis' roster. Jonathan Taylor's such a beast.
Oh, he's sick.
And Tyler Warren falling to them was like, wow.
And then you go to the NFC. I think it's a lot of the teams that before the season, I'm not shocked by this. I'm not shocked that the Philadelphia Eagles are 4-1. I'm not shocked that the Detroit Lions are 4-1. I think a lot of people thought the Lions would take a step back, but we still talk. They have a lot of talent on that team.
God, their personnel is...
I know. They're still loaded.
And whatever is going on with Philadelphia's offensive line is not necessarily happening to Detroit's. Philly's offensive line's had some injuries, and they're not as good as they were the last couple of years. I still think they're elite, but they're just not the same. Was it Landon Dickerson got hurt? And then there's some underperformance across that line. Detroit's offensive line is just incredible.
Well, and I thought the drop-off would be worse for Detroit, losing Ben Johnson. He was the guy for them.
And Ragnow.
And Frank Ragnow retired. Like, they haven't skipped a beat. Now, I think everyone overreacted that week one. It's a divisional game against the Packers. Packers just have a really good defense. Like, that could be the case, too. But to your point, it does look like Philadelphia misses Kellen Moore is their OC. It's kind of looking like they're losing some juice there.
Nobody laughs at New Orleans. Their offense is good.
I mean, they have one win, but they've been in almost all of their games except for the blowout against the Seahawks. They've been in most of those. So you got the Eagles there. You got Detroit. The Buccaneers were a playoff team last year. They're 4-1. They look really good. We'll see what the Packers. They're 2-1. They had a bye week. Seahawks are right there, 3-2. The Vikings. Kevin O'Connell doing his thing.
See, I don't know what to make of them just yet. I'm not ready to, you know, give them the benefit of the doubt. I'm also not ready to write their season off. Carson Wentz looks good.
And then
got him in two back-to-back weeks. I've seen him.
And I didn't mention, and obviously, the 49ers at 4-1. I'm not shocked by this. I thought they were going to be a playoff team heading into the season. Did I think it would look like this?
No one could have predicted this.
If you were telling me they're 4-1, would I be shocked? No. And then you told me, like, how they got there, then I would kind of
be shocked. Back three separate games with 49 attempts with Mac Jones and no Kittle and no Pearsall and no Jennings. And
Bosa, you lose Nick Bosa.
Yeah, and CMC wouldn't have a 100-yard rushing game.
You wouldn't have a rushing touchdown, you wouldn't have a rushing touchdown.
This is why watching sports is just the best. Oh, he's here? Baldy? Let's just get
to
him.
Shark Week, baby. This is why it's the best, too. Let's go.
He breaks down plays better than anyone.
I mean, this is like Shark Week now. And you know what Baker Mayfield is? He's chum. Look at these sharks. You think you're getting away from those four angry sharks? It's Shark Week. It's time to eat. Make the read. Urgency. That's the name of the game right here. Urgency. Now. On it. He's on it. Touchdown. Beautiful throw.
He's our 95.7 The Game NFL insider, Brian Baldinger.
And he's presented by our proud partner, Golden State Lumber and Showroom, serving the Bay Area for three generations. Building better starts with Golden State. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit goldenstatelumber.com. And he joins us now on the River Islands guest line. As all guests in 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line, isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? Baldy joining us here on the Morning Roast, as he does each and every Tuesday at this time. We had an emergency, Baldy, on Friday after the Niners win on Thursday, so we have had a couple days to marinate on Week 5. And, Baldy, we were just talking about it, and we'll bring you into the conversation right now. I know the talk of the league right now is what the Danny Dimes, the Indiana Jones, Shane Steichen, and the Colts are doing, and rightfully so. But I think right there, what the Niners have been able to do overcoming these injuries and what Mac Jones has been able to do being 3-0 as a backup, it is one of the best stories early on here in the National Football League.
Oh, for sure. to be 4-1 right now with the injuries and the laundry list and how big it is to have a rookie left guard in there and that nobody talks about, you know, and the rookies on defense that, you know, made unbelievable plays, you know, like Alfred Collins, basically securing a victory on Thursday night. Yeah, I mean, it's player development. It's because it's never just the next guy up. Because there's always a drop-off when you go from an all-pro. You go from George Kittle to Jake Tong. There's a drop-off, all right? But when you don't notice it, when you still are able to drive the ball and still be able to move the ball, like, that's it's great coaching. And, you know, I mean, you're going to see a team in Tampa that is a result of good coaching. You know, they finally are getting a little healthier on the offensive line right now. But, you know, the Dallas Cowboys won a game the other day. They've got four backups on the offensive line. The running back had his best day in 2 years. The quarterback can be the MVP of the league. I mean, coaching is the difference in this whole business.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And I feel like Kyle's been excellent as well for himself this year. And I'm looking at the quarterback spot. And, Baldy, I'll just take you right into it. So, you know, I'm watching all these games, and I started doing a deep dive on win streaks. The Niners didn't even win consecutive games last year. And they've got a three-game win streak with Mac under center. Teams win and lose. Yeah. I understand that. But he's playing good football right now. And I know that Purdy's dealing with this injury, all right? And so the way I'm viewing it is I'm just riding the hot hand until a poor performance or the team loses. That's kind of my setting. I'm not worried about long-term. I'm not going crazy. I'm not running Brock out of town. I'm not benching him. It's just I'm going to ride the hot hand as long as we can and as long as it's going. What do you think of that?
Well, I don't disagree with that at all. I really don't. And it's not a knock on Brock, but unless, I mean, if he's 95%, why put him out there? Like, why not until you're absolutely certain that he's 100%? And if Mac wins a fourth game, you know, against a very good Tampa team, then I would definitely leave him in at this point. You said, so I believe in riding the hot hand. It just happens. It's not, you're not trying to usurp somebody, but your job is to win as many games as you possibly can, however you do it. And you cannot be worried about any player egos or anything else. I mean, Mac's playing great football right now. And so, I don't know. Like, I wouldn't be in a hurry to make that change.
See, I'm with you. And I think people, they get so emotional regarding Purdy. And it's like, guys, you're overthinking it. I'm not burying the guy. He's not healthy right now. And I'm riding the hot hand as long as I can. Now, we'll see how Mac is feeling with that lower knee injury. What are you seeing stylistically from the Niners with Mac under center? Because I saw some throws on some deep curls. You know, guys have strengths and weaknesses. I mean, he's hit some really nice passes, and it feels like the offense has kind of changed a little. What have you seen on film, Brock, from Mac versus Brock?
Well, I mean, you know, Kendrick Bourne got hot the other day, you know, and they fed Kendrick Bourne. Nobody could have predicted that, but somebody had to step up. But, I mean, you know, 3rd and 1, you're deep in your own territory. You're at the 10-yard line, whatever it is, and you throw that, you know, that bang 8 to, you know, to Kendrick Bourne. That's a dangerous throw in the middle of the field, and he put it right on him, and Bourne made the catch. I mean, the only miss that he had was a drop by Bourne, but otherwise, I mean, he found somebody that he really trusted, and he went to it. And so that's, you know, would Brock have gotten the balls to Kendrick Bourne? Like, every player sees things different. It's not a knock on Brock or anything, but would Kendrick Bourne catch 10 balls and have a career game if Brock was that quarterback? I don't know. Nobody knows. Maybe, but, you know, they needed somebody to step up on Thursday night, and I don't think it's a great secondary for the Rams. I think it's a weakness. But, you know, he delivered, and how Brock saw the field, that's what he did. So I thought, you know, they continually find ways to get the ball to McCaffrey in the passing game, which is creative by Kyle because he's so good at it. You know, he could – one of those running backs that could play slot receiver in this business and be really good at it.
Talking with Baldy here on the Morning Roast, our Odyssey NFL Insider, best football show podcast, as well as he is each and every Tuesday at this time. And, Baldy, let's leave it right there with the running game. Is this just what we should expect if I'm a Niner fan going forward, that the running game's just going to be – you know, a couple yards here and there. Maybe we break one loose occasionally. But, like, is there a remedy that this thing could, like, get fixed at any point this season? Because I would like to have some complimentary football at one point if I'm a Niner fan.
I wouldn't just say this is what we are. I mean, I'd always look to be getting better. You know, I mean, everybody can run the outside zone better than what they're doing right now. Everybody can run wind back better than what they're running it right now. So I would always be looking to improve it any way that you can. It can be a simple tweak. It could be steps. It could be, you know, placement. I know Kyle coaches it hard. You know, I mean, that's just Alex Gibbs brought this system, you know, to Denver with Kyle's dad. And I've been around Alex Gibbs when he was coaching. Nobody coached harder than that guy. So, I mean, you just got to keep coaching hard, you know, and you got a rookie left guard in there. Every year is a little bit different. Colton kind of had a rough night the other day against the Rams. You know, but you got to keep working at it. You know, you don't know when some of these splits are going to happen and when the daylight is going to hit. So I wouldn't just throw my arms up and go, well, that's what we are right now by any stretch.
If you were going to add to the offensive side of the ball, I was suggesting, you know, no one's going to trade you an offensive lineman during the regular season. It's very, very rare. But would a guy like Alvin Kamara be a fit for what the 49ers want to do? You know, be able to replicate some of that Debo motion action with him and CMC in the red zone, be a pass-catching option, you know, out of the backfield. If you were going to add on the offensive side of the ball, what would you be looking at, and what do you think would be available for this team?
Well, what are you saying, Joe? Are you playing general manager here? Do you know something about Kamara?
No,
they
I'm just
saying. Like,
I know.
Against the Giants.
I'd love to get him. I think he'd be a perfect fit, and I've been very underwhelmed with Brian Robinson, and I'm trying to get some juice somewhere on the field, and I'm wondering how they can kind of, you know, ramp up their red zone. And I don't know. I always see these running backs as targets that could be moved. He's got 2 years left on his deal. I'd love to see him in a Niner uniform.
I don't know. You know, the cap, you know, I don't know. He makes a good salary. Kamara's a rare player. Rare. You know, I used to say that he's like a cat on a marble table. You can't get him off his feet. His balance is remarkable. But, you know, I mean, if you had a way to get AK-41 into that lineup, I mean, you find a way to get both him and McCaffrey on the field together. And because both of them can play in the slot, both of them are excellent route runners. I mean, Sean Payton ran a two-man game to the weak side with Michael Thomas and Al.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates. From all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. and we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
With Kamara, he'd go right down the field feeding those two guys. I mean, Kyle knows that. I mean, would he be a good fit? he'd be an awesome fit. He's playing good football right now.
Talking about Baldy here on the morning roast, and big one this week, Baldy, against Tampa, obviously, and the guy on that other sideline, Baker Mayfield, has been unbelievable, right? Like, one of the great stories these last few years. Left for dead out in Carolina, you know, gets his mind right with Sean McVay and the Rams, coming back now and taking over for Tom Brady, of all people, in Tampa Bay. Just one of the great stories. And I look at Mac Jones right now, and I'm not saying he's on the level because Baker's been doing it as a starter, and we're just riding the hot hand that is Mac Jones. What does Mac do, though, on this offense, Baldy? Like, and I'm not trying to, like, you know, degrade Brock, and I'm not telling you to do that, but, like, are there things that Mac is able to do within this offense that Brock just might not be able to do with his skill set?
Well, I mean, I think both of them see the field really well and get the ball out of their hands. You know, none of them can do what Baker does because Baker is just so electric. It's just extending plays. Nobody really plays the game quite like Baker. And then he's always had unbelievable touch on a deep ball, but he's got a rookie receiver that could easily be the rookie of the year in Igbuka, right? Nobody runs routes like him. He reminds me a lot of Ayuk, you know, when he had a great year, just his route running. It's even smoother than Ayuk at his best. But my Mac Jones, just look. He gets the ball out of his hands. You know, they don't take a lot of negative plays with him. You know, he sees it quickly and he strikes quickly. And he's been very, very accurate with the ball. And more than just enough arm to be able to make the throws that you got to be able to make. So he's been impressive. I mean, look, Baker last year was one of only 10 quarterbacks in the history of this whole game in 105 years to throw for over 40 touchdowns and over 4,500 yards. And he's probably going to – he could be on a similar path this year with no Mike Evans, you know, with, you know, all the injuries they've had at the receiver position, Jalen McMillan. But he'll throw to Cade Otton. He'll throw to Igbuka. Like, he'll throw to Tez. You know, Tez last week, Tez Johnson had an unbelievable game. Like, whoever's out there, he's going to throw it to him. Like, he's a dynamic player right now.
I mean, how did the Niners heat him up right now? Like, Stafford had all day, and it felt like they were cooking Stout on the inside, and they had to go to Lucas. And I guess Stout hurt his ankle. I'm not really sure. But, I mean, how does this secondary stay with these wide receivers if we can't get any pass rush generated here? I'm very worried about this matchup. And I guess we're lucky that Bucky Irvin looks like he's not going to be able to suit up in this one. I think this is a tough, tough matchup for the defense.
It's tough. I mean, they had four starters on their offensive line out for the first two of the first three games. The left tackle's back, Tristan Wirfs. He's the best in the business right now. They literally, the playbook just opens up with him. You look at the game winning touchdown, it's toss crack, there goes Tristan pulling and leading away. So now you got an elite center, okay, in Graham Barton. You got an elite left tackle, solid left guard. I mean, you got some weakness on the right side, backups at Charlie Heck and, you know, the young right guard right now. I mean, but Charlie Heck played really good. But, you know, if I'm going to get to Baker, I don't think I'm going to beat Tristan Wirfs. Like, nobody came close in Seattle beating him last week. They took care of Leonard Williams inside. But I would say that if you're going to make some money, if you're going to win some one-on-ones, I'd go over the right guard, right tackle right now and put, you know, Bryce Huff over there, put Michael, you know, put your best over there and let them go to work.
How are the young guys for the Niners defense in the back end? You know, D Winners, it looked like he had a rough night. It looked like Marquise Siegel, although in position, couldn't really locate the ball. I referenced Upton Stout, Renardo Green. How are those young guys looking right now in open space?
Well, I thought Green played well. I mean, I can't go back and recall, like, every single, you know, pass defense or, you know, route that he covered. But I thought Renardo has played really well. Siegel, obviously, on the, you know, down the goal line, made the stuff, you know, helped make the stuff along with Alfred and, you know, and Fred. Like, But I you know, those young guys are going to make some, they're going to make some mistakes. They're going to have some rough moments. They just are. Everybody does. You just got to fight through it, you know, and hopefully, you know, you play the game with your eyes and your feet and not so much with your hands, you know, in trying to read these routes and go up against these, you know, I don't know. I mean, Godwin is back. I don't know how healthy he is right now, but they got three guys that can flat out win down the field. And Ibuka is as good a route runner as I've seen in this business right now already. And what he did the other day in Seattle is unreal. But he's special. He's a special player. You're going to give up some routes to that guy. You just hope that you can limit the number of explosive plays, because that's what Seattle had a hard time doing the other day.
Brian Baldinger here on the Morning Roast. And Baldy, we were talking about earlier in the show the fact that, you know, the players have been gravitating so much here in the 49ers locker room and even on the field to Mac and what he's been able to do and the swagger he plays with. And they just really seem to gravitate. He was out there with the boombox with Kendrick Bourne, Trent Williams. He's a great part of the team, and he's a character and he's fun. I just wonder,
yeah.
You know, when you have a guy like that and he's so hot, and I know you said you'd ride the hot hand to keep going with him, what is the locker room thinking right now? With a backup that's in here, they're going to keep winning. And if they keep winning and they win this week, then it's like, oh my God, 4-0. You beat the Rams and you beat the Bucks, two playoff contenders. Like, and then you make a switch back to Brock. Like, is it like, hey, you know what? Brock's taken us to a Super Bowl. He's been an MVP candidate in the past. It's all good. Or their players in that locker room being like, I don't know. Should we stick with the hot hand? Like, I'm just trying to get like the feel for what they're thinking, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. I was around. I was in Jacksonville last year for training camp. So Doug Peterson was a coach, and you know, and Mac was a backup to Trevor Lawrence. So you know, they let me stand behind the center for all of practice. So you know, Mac's a backup. So I'm just like shooting the breeze with Mac Jones. He's got the script in his hand, whatever. He's like, hey, you know, watch Brian Thomas in this. You know, I mean, he's just a fun guy to be around. Like a lot of fun to be around. Like he's very loose. But, you know, I think, you know, when he, like, he can't stand up the other day, you know, his pants are falling down and like guys just gritty as hell. Like, I'm sure guys are making fun of him, you know, like I'm sure they're imitating him in the locker room. It's just, you know, when you're winning, everything is fun. Your guys are probably imitating him right now. But they've done the same thing with Brock though, too. You know, when he came out of nowhere and played at the level that he did, I would say that. You know, and there's such a young team. It's you know, especially on defense right now with all the youth that they're playing. I would say that they've got to be very encouraged by the overall quarterback play of the position, regardless of who's in there right now.
I mean, I'm looking at Sunday, and as a Niner fan, I'm like, wow, this day couldn't have gotten any better for us. We're not playing. The Eagles lose. You know, there's just kind of like chaos galore as Seattle loses late to the Bucks in a great game. You already yeah. beat the Rams on Thursday. The Cardinals lose. Like, it felt like a great day for the 49ers. Then we look ahead to this weekend. How big of a matchup is this? I mean, obviously, we're only 5 weeks in. This will be week six. How big is this matchup, though, for the 49ers? Is this one of those litmus test type of games?
Yeah, I think so, because, you know, obviously Tampa's 4-1, and they've overcome their share of injuries. They still have a bunch, but they've basically overcome a bunch of early injuries, especially when you've got the best left tackle in football, you know, out through all of training camp, but he's back. But anyways, they overcame all that, like the 49ers. But you're going across the country. Here's the thing. If you go across the country and you find a way to beat Tampa in that heat, on that field, against that team, that plane ride home, the victory is just completely different. Like the bonding that takes place for 5 hours, 6 hours on that flight home after that game. I mean, all of a sudden the rookies feel like they're a real big part of this thing. You know, that's always huge. When you get a lift like what Alfred gave you guys on Thursday night, and what Michael has shown the last couple of weeks since Nick went down, like that's all of a sudden they kind of grow up quicker. You know, Fred got the defense together and they're having a nice card game for 5 hours. I mean, it's just a great bond. And you're 5-1 and you're on top of the NFC, regardless of what Detroit does this weekend or Philly, you know, on Thursday night. I mean, you're on top of the NFC with another conference win, which does matter sometimes when you get to the postseason. But you get to 5 wins in the first 6 weeks, you're halfway to 10 wins. know, regardless of what happens, you're halfway to 10, you know, and you've done that with a backup quarterback and the receivers on the shelf and no Kittle. I mean, it's impressive. And it would, it'd be a feel good ride home. I know that.
Baker's having a monster year, right? And he's had a monster kind of run for Tampa. Mm. But he was written off by a variety of people and teams in the league. Jared Goff was written off at one point. Geno Smith, I know he's struggling now, but he was written off at one point. Wentz, who's now playing for the Vikings, was written off. Sam Darnold was written off. And Daniel Jones was written off. And it feels like he's having comeback player of the year type of a year. When you look at the quarterback position around the league and you see these guys having success at different stops throughout their career, what does that tell you about quarterback development and just how organizations are run throughout the league?
Yeah, well, I mean, we have a lot of lousy organizations, and they're on display right now. And so what it tells me two things. One, I talked to Dan Jeremiah, who's our evaluator. And we went back and we read the evaluation of Baker, the evaluation of Sam, you know, some of these guys. The evaluations were right. They got the right guy. You know, the organization stunk, and their ability to build around it with the right coaches, what Jason Light is doing in Tampa, there's a reason why Tom Brady went to Tampa and not to some of these other places that people were rumored to when he left New England. He was going to a place where the GM knew how to, discover talent. And that's what's kind of going on right now in Jacksonville, too. I mean, this new GM there, they've got three rookies on the field on the final drive of the game. You wouldn't know it. But regardless, it just says how important these quarterbacks can't be evaluated in a vacuum. They can't be evaluated when they're in lousy organizations like Cleveland, like the Jets, like the Giants are. And so you get caught up in that. Carolina, you get caught up in that cycle, and all of a sudden, you get a year in San Francisco, you know, you get a year with the Rams, you get a year in Minnesota, like some of these guys that have traveled around. Even Baker, you know, gets traded on, gets picked up on a Tuesday, starts on a Thursday, wins a game. He's like, oh, that's how you're supposed to, you know, build an offense, call a game, game plan for an opponent. Like, they're seeing things that they never saw before. And Sam Darnold's going to continue to play well. They scored five straight touchdowns the other day. Five straight possessions, five straight touchdowns. One big play after another. Jackson and Smith and Jigba, I didn't know he could play outside and inside. I thought he was a slot receiver. But when your quarterback is right, the offense line is good, and the play caller is proven, all of a sudden these guys can flourish.
What's the team right now, Baldy, you're looking at that's saying, hey, everyone's throwing dirt on this team right now that's going to come out of this thing and still make the playoffs? I'm looking at the team last night, and I get it. They're only 2-3, but it feels like everyone is so down on the Kansas City Chiefs. And listen, they're getting older. I'm not saying they're not. Travis Kelce's getting older, right? All these guys on defense, they're getting older. Andy Reid himself is getting older. This whole team is. They still got Patrick Mahomes. They still got Steve Spagnuolo, though. They still got Andy Reid. They're going to figure it out, right, Baldy? Right?
Steve Spagnuolo is the best coach in the NFL. Nobody can do what that guy does. That guy is an amazing coordinator. That offense is – they had 500 yards of offense last night. If you don't throw a pick six that goes 99 yards, I mean, now look, albeit, I think actually Jacksonville blew the coverage, and Juju Smith, it just so happened they were – mugging the A-gap with Devin Lloyd. He jumped in front of the ball and went the distance. But that offense right now with Xavier Worthy, Hollywood Brown, and Tyquan Thornton has more speed than any offense in football. And Mahomes is Mahomes. They're going to be – I think they're still going to win the division. All right? I think they're still going to be – they're still going to probably be in the Final Four before it's all over.
They just can't die, Joe. I told you. I said the same thing. I opened the show, Baldy. I was like, I'm still betting on the Chiefs to win that division. All those injuries with the Chargers. Not quite sure about the Broncos, although that was a big win for them against the Eagles. They're not going to die. They're never going to die, that team. Not as long as they have Mahomes and Reed. It's similar, Baldy, to Brady and Belichick. I'm never betting against those guys. I'm just not.
No, don't do that. Don't bet against them. No. Watch Detroit. Detroit's on fire right now. There's some teams right now that are playing really good football. It's, you know, early October. There's a lot, long way to go. But, you know, you're going to go as far as great quarterback play. And in some of these places, Mahomes, he's still, you can talk about the pick six. He's still playing great quarterback.
Baldy, in honor of Amazon Prime Day, we're up against it. Who is the best bang for the buck in the NFL this year? Ooh. Any position?
Let's see. I would say, I don't know. Tristan Wirfs looks like he's unbeatable at this point. He looks like the best player in the league to me.
Wow. Wow, and that's who we're going up against this week.
Go through the offseason and preseason. Like, his legs are fresh. Like, that guy is just a beast right now. He's as good as anybody at any position. But I don't know, like, I mean, there's so many great players. I mean, Puka Nacua is unguardable right now, like what he can do. You could go receiver, running backs. Like, Jonathan Taylor is as good as there is in his business right now. And I don't know, like Shane Steichen, what he's doing with Indianapolis, they should be 5-0.
Yeah.
Like, he's doing a fantastic job right now.
God, they just absolutely destroyed the Raiders last week. Baldy, where are you at this week?
Yeah, where are you at this week, bud?
I actually, because I have to do Texas OU on Saturday. The only game I could get to was the Raider game after that. So I'm going to see the Raiders in Tennessee on Sunday and see if they can actually win a game. But Texas OU on Saturday, I got to see Archie myself, my own eyes.
Cam Ward, hey, big win for him last week. Okay. Shasky's he's cringing over here with that matchup.
I give Cam Ward this credit. Like, that guy never stops. He's a gunslinger. Like, he plays with zero fear. If they build this thing properly, and I don't know if they are, but he might have a chance to come out of this thing.
He reminds me of the modern-day Flutie, but Baldy, you're the best. Have
He's
a good
so
one,
good.
Man.
Hey, Baldy, good stuff.
All right, guys. You got me. I'll talk to you next week. That's going to be a great game, Sonny. Enjoy, fella.
Oh, yeah. We're going to enjoy
it. Wait.
Can't wait. And I also can't wait, Carter, for the injury report. I can't wait for it.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
Niners getting healthier. They open the practice window for safety Malik Mustafa, or as Baldy likes to call him, Mustafa. He will be back at practice this week, and the 49ers now have 21 days to activate him or put him on season-ending IR. Mustafa tore his ACL in the season finale last season against the Arizona Cardinals. The injury report was brought to you by Boxer & Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's coming up with the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. You know him, you love him, or you hate him. Either way, you're going to be listening. Vontae Hill in studio next for the rest of the show.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly but you know what why it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.